Hello and welcome to Indie Business Radio for Monday, December 7th, 2009. I'm your host, Donna Maria, and you have arrived at the one place where we empower you to enjoy your life, build your business, and have your way. Today's show is sponsored by Essential Wholesale, one of the largest selections of natural and organic unscented cosmetic spaces in the world, with over 1,000 stock formulations and custom formulation services perfect for helping you create your own branded line of cosmetics. Visit EssentialWholesale.com for more information. Well, of course, we all know that the end of the year is upon us. I can hardly believe it's nearly the Christmas holidays. And for some people, I guess it is the Christmas holidays, but I'm not done with my shopping, and I haven't really started yet. So until then, for me, Christmas holidays haven't started. But even so, I am looking forward to what is going to come in 2010, and that is only a few weeks away. So I'm having a series of shows this month that's going to help you focus your efforts on things that can be accomplished between now and the end of the year, and things that you can plan for in 2010 to help refocus your business, re-energize your efforts to be even more successful in 2010 than you have been this year. And to help us do that today, we have a fantastic dynamic duo, a husband-wife team who are entrepreneurs, coaches, radio show hosts, talk show hosts, and just a variety of other wonderful things that they bring to the table to help us be successful. My guests today are Ron and Tazra Dawson. Ron Dawson is the president of Dare Dreamer Media, a new media marketing agency and production company in Atlanta, Georgia. Ron is an international award-winning producer and videographer. He writes a weekly blog about business and branding at bladeronner.com. And his wife, Tazra Dawson, is an award-winning author, a photographer, and scrapbooking expert who works with her husband at their media production company. Tazra has served as a trainer and project manager previously at Apple, Inc. She and Ron are the author of a new book called Refocus, Cutting-Edge Strategies to Evolve Your Video Business. If you're listening to the show at IndieBusinessRadio.com, feel free to click on the link to join the live chat. I'm so excited to have you all here today. Ron and Tazra Dawson, welcome to the show.
Thank you. Thank you.
Now, as I was preparing to introduce you, I obviously had to cut your introduction down, and then I had to cut it down again, and then again to make sure that I gave a fairly decent overview, but obviously didn't have room to include everything because you guys are just some of the most dynamic entrepreneurs that I know. So to help kick us off with an idea of what perspectives you bring to the table for listeners, Ron, can you give us a high-level overview of your transitions from being employed by companies to having your own successful award-winning business?
Sure, sure, Donna Maria, and thank you once again for having us on. Your intro kind of said it all, but in order to follow up on what you said, before I started my company in 2002, I was a business marketing manager for Quicken at Intuit, Quicken, the popular financial software. So I did a lot of marketing and business development, but I always had a passion for filmmaking that goes all the way back to 1992, when I originally took film and video courses. So in the summer of 2002, I started my business. I left my job, started my business, got married, became a stepdad, all in the same summer. So not necessarily the formula that I would suggest to people going out there who are starting their own business, but that's how I did it. And it's been great. So over the past, what is that, 7 years, almost 7.5 years now, I've been working, and both Tazra and I have done work in film and video production, and doing that for couples who are getting married, doing that for businesses who are looking to market themselves using video, and now adding a social media component to it as well.
Amazing. Lots of information to cover. And Tazra, your background is a little bit different, but so complementary that you guys have been able to marry things into a business that you work in together. Tell us a little bit about how you evolved from into the fantastic entrepreneur that you are today.
Well, thank you for the compliment, and thank you for having us. My journey is a little bit more scattered, which is kind of indicative of me as a person because I have so many diverse interests. So I actually started as a junior high teacher because I love working with teenagers, and from there was in the corporate world for a while, which is not a place I do very well. I think because, and I think we've talked about this, the entrepreneurial spirit just is a little too strong. And so after that, Ron and I got married, and just from the confidence boost of him and working with him, pursued my writing, which is where Real Women Scrap was born, where my first book was born. And then from there, got into scrapbooking, to blogging, and then we went on to, you know, work with media and video and the new book that we just put out. So it's really been kind of an interesting journey, and the photography evolved along with the scrapbooking, just wanting to make amazing pictures that I could put in my scrapbooks, which then became a love for photography, which, you know, started a new site this year as well. So it's been a very interesting and exciting journey that pretty much parallels my personality and interests.
Now, Tazra, one of the things that occurs to me as you describe your background is, as you described it, sort of scattered. But really, I think the way I look at it and the way most small business owners that I work with look at it is just that creative energy that you have that you're able to turn into a profit-generating venture no matter which avenue you decide to go in. So I'd like to ask you, Tazra, how do you sort of funnel all of this energy and, I guess, rein yourself in so that you can discipline yourself to actually have different types of businesses that generate income? Because you know what I mean? So many people, we have so many interests and we want to do so many things. It's hard to force ourselves to, I guess, refocus, as the title of your book says. Can you share with us some tips on how you've managed to do that and still do so many different things?
Sure, and you know, I'll preface it by saying I definitely don't have it all worked out, and so I'll just, you know, say that at the outset. One thing that, an analogy that I heard when we were creating a new film series for a client of ours earlier this year, I heard an analogy by a creative director, and he said it is that, you know, creatives are often like gunpowder, and gunpowder will go all over the place if it doesn't have, if it's not stuck in the barrel of a gun. But once you can stick that gunpowder in the barrel of a gun, the power of it is so immense because it's focused and it is going in a specific direction. And a lot of creatives, a lot of people who have this entrepreneurial drive and energy and ideas, they're like this loose gunpowder that can go off anywhere, but it goes in so many different directions that it's not really effective. And so that's been an analogy for me that I've been using recently, but it's something that I've been trying to implement in my life. And I think that, I mean, one strategy that I would say is to learn yourself and to know yourself well. One of the things that I have become more successful doing is realizing that I work in sort of seasons in flow, and so there are times where I will be intensely focused on my photography, and it will seem like I'm ignoring or forgetting about the other things that I love. Mm-hmm. But the truth is that I'm just intensely focused, and allowing myself to do that intense focus for a certain amount of time, whether it's a day or 2 days or 3 days even, helps me because that's how I work. And so instead of getting on myself for not having a two-hour block of photography and a two-hour block of scrapbooking and a two-hour block of blogging, I say, this is how my brain works. I get in a flow, and then once I'm going, it's like the barrel of a gun, and I'm shooting. And otherwise, I'm too scattered. So that, I think, does that make sense?
Oh, absolutely, it does. And is it fair to say that ultimately we all have to sort of determine what's going to work for us and not beat ourselves up because we're not doing it the way someone else is?
Absolutely, absolutely.
Now, Ron, since you've been in business for such a long time, and also, as you said earlier, your interest in video goes way back years before you actually even started your business, you've watched the economy in good times and in challenging times as we are now. What are some of the things that you've noticed, particularly as a person who works in video, about what small business owners need to do today in order to set themselves up for success in years to come?
I think what's really important, Donna Maria, is for small businesses to really look at the long term rather than the short term. So what kind of things can you put in place that can really set your business up to go the long haul? And, you know, Tazer and I will be the first to admit that we are by no means experts, even our own advice. But there are things like how you set up your accounting systems, how you set up your tracking and your customer service systems. And, you know, we recently embarked on a new client project for a client that's been in business for 40 years. And when they first started out back in 19, it'll be 40 years next year. When they first started out, you know, basically the husband started the business and the wife had the job and had the insurance. It was very much like Tazer and I. And this company has seen ups and downs. And, you know, and interviewing the employees and talking to the customers as we prepare to make this film series for them, the thing that ran through as a common theme was, one, a commitment to customer service. I can't stress how important I think that is into long-term viability, because especially in today's day and age, there are so many alternatives, and sometimes the only thing that can really set you apart from your competition is the level of service that you provide. And so this company is like obsessed with giving amazing, over-the-top customer service. And, you know, when I talk to clients of this company that, from, you know, as young as a year and a half old to customers of this company that date back a quarter of a century, you know, when I ask them, do you remember why you went to this company? And they all said, oh yeah, they made me feel like a person. They didn't make me feel like a number. And I think if you're a small business and you're able to give your customers or your clients amazing customer service, they'll stick with you and they'll talk about you. So I think that's really, really key.
Now, Ron, have you noticed working with companies both large and small in your business that the smallest companies tend to have a pretty good advantage in terms of making customers feel like real people?
They can have an advantage, but in a lot of ways they can also have a disadvantage. The disadvantage comes in the fact that there are so many things that a small business owner has to do. I mean, oftentimes, if you're like a one-man or two-man shop or two-woman shop, you know, there's so many hats you have to wear that it can be very easy for that to fall by the wayside. I mean, I know that is one weakness that I've had as a business owner, where I really haven't done all the things I know that I could do or that I should do to make my customers feel like kings and queens. And so, and one of the reasons why that happens to me is just I get so overwhelmed. So on one hand, I think small business owners have that disadvantage. The advantage, of course, is the fact that because, you know, a small business person is smaller, they can take more time to, if they really plan it out, to get to know their clients better, to travel, meet their clients and customers in person, things of that nature. So I think, you know, it's, you know, six of one, half dozen of the other, where, you know, large company versus small company. And, but I think it's just a matter of really making it a priority in your business to give your customers, you know, top-notch service.
And over the years, Ron, have you found that it's easier to some extent for businesses to do that because of some of the evolution in terms of new media and technologies?
Oh, yeah. I mean, you know, a lot of companies now, for instance, are using, you know, Twitter as their customer service desk, where you can ask questions via Twitter, and you could, you know, contact the people via Twitter, and they can get back to you. And, you know, in fact, you know, Tazer was having a problem with a blog, and she kind of mentioned that she was having an issue, and she was thinking about possibly changing blog hosts. And the original blog host provider that she was using saw the Twitter traffic and contacted her and helped her out and provided, you know, some great customer service for her just based on, she wasn't even contacting the company, she was just putting it out there.
Mm-hmm.
So by monitoring Twitter, this company was able to keep Tazer as a customer longer, and Tazer was able to get some additional help to some issues that she had. So social media has definitely played a great role in helping companies offer great service.
That's a wonderful tip for everyone, and an insight into yet another way that Twitter can be used to make business more efficient and more fun.
Can I make another point about Twitter with regards to customer service?
You absolutely can after our break, because we've got to go to a break. But we want to come back and hear more about Ron's and Tazra's thoughts on Twitter and some other things. Ron and Tazra are video production experts, and we all know how important it is to incorporate some kind of video into your business outreach. So we're going to come back and pick their brains for their best tips for small businesses to create videos that affect the bottom line and engage and encourage their customers and other stakeholders. This is Indie Business Radio. I'm your host, Donna Maria. We'll be right back.
Why is everyone listening to GlobalTalkRadio.com? Because it's the future of talk radio. Every day, more and more people are finding internet radio as not just an alternative media, but as a replacement to traditional AM and FM broadcast stations. Internet radio offers a wider variety of programs, convenient on-demand listening that meets your schedule, and fewer commercial interruptions. And GlobalTalkRadio.com is already leading the way by matching this content with a highly targeted internet audience. GlobalTalkRadio.com offers its listeners one of the widest programming varieties on the internet, from business and finance to self-improvement, paranormal, health, literature, romance, politics, and more. There are also opportunities for prospective hosts who would like to host their own weekly or one-time talk shows. Want to learn more? Check us out at www.globaltalkradio.com and see the future of talk radio today.
Welcome back to Indie Business Radio. We're here today with my guests, Ron and Tazra Dawson. They are the authors of Refocus, Cutting-Edge Strategies to Involve Your Video Business, and they also are the co-owners of Dear Dreamer Media. And before we took our break, Ron, you wanted to share something else about the value of Twitter.
Yeah, I was going to say that Twitter can work both ways in terms of how it can help your business. And, I think about, the Kanye West incident that happened a couple months ago when he got on stage and kind of dissed Taylor Swift. Within seconds, millions of people all over the world were tweeting about how much of a jerk he was. And and it just shows that if you do something bad, it can backfire because of social media, and there's nothing you can do about it. So it's even that much more important nowadays to be on your game, so that, because there could be people out there talking about your business, whether you like it or not, and using Twitter and so forth to do that.
Right. Such a really good and important point that, it goes both ways. And Tazra, you have been blogging for a very long time, and you're also active on Facebook. And I'll just mention that Tazra is almost single-handedly responsible for me having a blog, and actually three blogs now. Tazra was my very first blogging coach several years ago. She helped me with that. So this is a blogging expert, guys. If you have any questions, you can feel free to TM up in the chat room. Tazra, blogging is kind of a form of social networking. Tell us how you use blogging and your Facebook group successfully to interact with your customers.
It's a great question. I think that, with Twitter and Facebook now, some people are thinking blogging's going to go by the wayside, or that it takes too much time and energy, I'll just do Twitter instead. And I really think that using all of them is the most powerful strategy, because you can cross-promote among all of the different avenues that you have. So currently I have two blogs, which we're in the middle of a redesign, and we'll be combining that because I think it will make a stronger presence and help me just bring together the people that I'm connecting with. So the power of having a blog is that it really personalizes you and the information that you have, and it lets you create interaction with your community. So one of the things that I love about blogging that most people are doing now are the threaded comments, and it's where, I'm writing a post about something, and then, Donna Maria, you can come and make a comment, and I can reply to that comment, which then becomes a conversation rather than just me spitting out information at you and then hoping you get it, that you can ask questions or you can further the information. And I do allow people to put links if it's furthering the conversation and giving my readers more information, because I think that the point is not to hold on tight to our information, but to share it as much and as freely as we can, because that's really where the power is. And there is no limit to information. We're on information overload anyway, so why not share what you know and see who can benefit from it and take it even further? Just like in our coaching, when I coach you with blogging, you've taken it so much further than some of the things that we talked about and done it in different avenues. So it doesn't hurt me at all to share what I know to help bolster and to boost another small business. As we all get better at small business, then I think that the value and the trust that the community and the world at large has in small businesses and are willing to work with small businesses versus the larger corporate giants.
Sasha, can you share what threaded blogging comment program you're planning to incorporate in your redesign?
I actually already have it on both of my blogs. I believe it's called Discus, which is D-I-S-Q-U-S.
Right.
And it's just an additional thing that you can add. So that is what I'm currently using now.
Good, great. Thanks for sharing that, and also for sharing how important it is to share, because that's really the only way that small businesses can get the information out there. But one of the things that I think sort of scares people or gives them pause, I guess, when they're first starting into the world of social networking, social media, is the recommendation that they kind of incorporate all of them. And I think some people kind of look at that and go, oh, my goodness, you know, as Ron said earlier, I'm wearing every single hat imaginable where my business is concerned. I can't possibly add something else. But you have been able to successfully do that and still, at least on the, it appears that you've maintained your sanity. What are some of your tips for incorporating these different types of social networks effectively so that you're not just, you know, spinning your wheels and having a good time, but it actually affects in a positive way your bottom line, Tazra?
I think that the number one thing that we talk about, we talked about this in our book in Refocus, we talk about this when we speak, is block scheduling. And any organizing productivity expert that you talk to will talk about block scheduling. So that means that you have a block of time that you are committed to giving to blogging or Twitter or Facebook every week, every day, however you know, I was talking earlier about do what works for you. Do what is consistent with how you work, but have a block schedule for it. So I have a specific amount of time that I am willing to devote to blogging each week, and it's more now than it used to be. I used to only spend 1 to 2 hours a week, and I would do 2 to 3 posts within that time. And 1 to 2 hours, actually, for 2 to 3 posts is a really small amount of time for the return that you get in establishing your credibility and establishing yourself as an expert and connecting with your audience. For Twitter and Facebook, I usually, you know, there are days where I do more, but usually it's I check in once in the morning and I check in once in the evening, and I spend maybe 5 or 10 minutes, follow some links, do some retweeting, put some posts of my own up, and then because you can link Twitter and Facebook, you don't even have to go and do that separately. So it doesn't have to take a lot of time. I think initially in startup it may take more because you're learning, but sometimes I think it's sort of a, you know, it's a psychological thing that you have to get over, a psychological hurdle, because you think it's going to take so much time. But if you schedule it out and you put a timer and it says 1 hour and you're going to knock out 2 posts, then you do it and you make it happen and you don't let it, you know, just sort of work and expand to whatever time you give it. And that's, we talked a lot about that in our time management chapter in Refocus, because it is one of the keys to being successful as a small business owner.
And I want to make sure my listeners know about this book. Even though it's titled Refocus, Cutting Edge Strategies to Involve Your Video Business, when I, of course, I don't have a video business per se, I don't do what Ron and Tazra do, but I was so excited to open up this book and find what you just described, Tazra, and that is a variety of really useful, helpful, down-to-earth tips from real people who are doing this stuff about how you can incorporate time management and all kinds of other things into your business. So don't let the title make you think that it's all about people who have a video business. It is definitively not. And I highly encourage you to take a look at the book, or just go to Amazon and read through what it's about, and you'll quickly see that it's not only video people that can benefit from this book. But since we do have a video production expert here on the show today, Ron, I want to ask you, how important do you think it is for even the smallest business to incorporate some kind of video technology into their business?
Oh, yeah, it's funny. Ask the video guy how important he thinks video is, right?
I suppose some people could see it that way, but I honestly see it as being able to tap into your expertise, but I know you personally, and so I know that whatever answer you're going to give is not going to be self-serving, but it's going to help small businesses, and I know that's going to happen, so that's why I asked you that.
Oh, yeah, I know, absolutely. I was just joking. You're dead on, and I don't want people to think, oh, yeah, of course he's going to say video is important. But, you know, Donna Marie, it really, really is. And regardless of who you use, whether you use our company or another company, mm-hmm. the power of video is so amazing at being able to help market your business, because there are studies have shown that click-through rates and sales increase by factors of 2 to 3 when there's a video component on like a web page versus just a picture or versus nothing at all. Because being able to see it and interact with it is something. We're very visual people. People in general are very visual. And so being able to see a video demonstration of a product, for instance, you know, particularly like with Taz or Israel and Scrap, being able to show how to use a particular product is, you know, is really powerful. But also, you know, YouTube is behind Google is the second most searched website on the web. So, mm-hmm. you know, adding videos to YouTube can significantly increase the amount of traffic you get, can help your Google rankings, because video in general is, on YouTube specifically, is highly searched. But, you know, going back to your original question about how you can use video, depending on what your business is, video gives you an ability to not only show, for instance, how a product works, but it gives the viewer an opportunity to get to know you.
Mm-hmm.
You know, a number of our clients are professional photographers, and oftentimes what really separates one photographer from another is not the quality of their photographs, but is the person of who they are. Say, like, you're a wedding photographer. You're going to be spending a day with the bride and groom all day long. That bride and groom are going to want to know that you're the kind of person they want to hang with for 8-10 hours on the most important day of their life.
Mm-hmm.
And so they can see your photographs on your website, but a video can really let them know who you are. You know, when I think about the audience that you have in your radio show, you know, I think you have all these small businesses and they sell all these, you know, these great products. I think being able to have, for instance, a video with a client testimony or a few client testimonies from products that maybe some of your listeners, customers may have used, and can be a very powerful testimony, can be a very powerful selling tool. So that's another great reason for video. And then putting that on your website, connecting that to online, like yellow pages and things like that,
right,
are all very, very powerful.
Right, good information. And, Ron, you don't have to have millions or thousands of dollars worth of equipment to produce decent videos today, do you?
No, you don't. I mean, I would always say, you know, we're very big on hiring professionals to do your work for you, whether it's video, whether it's creative design. But the truth is, you could set up your own little video camera, depending on what it is that you want to do, if you want to do, like, a weekly video podcast or something. Where would it make sense to hire somebody to do that every day? And, you know, we've seen lots of videos that have significant traffic, and they're just simple webcams that people put up, and they talk about their service or their product. So that's one way you could use video. But if you were going to use video as a promotional tool to talk about your business, kind of like a commercial, you can still, for a reasonable investment, get a very effective video without spending an arm and a leg.
And what sorts of, like, if you were to recommend for your average person, it's the holiday season, we're all creating lists for Santa. For a small business owner, can you share your recommendations for what sorts of inexpensive yet effective video cameras we might want to start with?
Well, I think, you know, one camera that we have is the Flip Minnow HD. You know, depending whether you get the HD version or the standard version, you know, it's around the $200 range. And basically, you get a high-definition camera the size of, you know, it's smaller than an iPhone. And you get high-definition video, and it's really, I mean, that's like an amazing product. It's easy to pull out. You can set it up on a little tripod that comes with it and put it in front of you, and it's easy to upload the videos and convert them to YouTube with the software that comes with the camera. So that would probably be a suggestion that I would have if someone wants something that's easy and quick. And, you know, then there are webcams out there that for the Apple and for the PC side that one could use too. And these are for videos that if you want to do it yourself of yourself.
Right.
Yeah.
Right. Or of the products that you have to offer or whatever.
Right, right.
So this is good. And Tazra, of course, you have been the host of a weekly scrapbooking show in the past. How long did that run? How many shows did you do, Tazra?
Oh, that's a good question. I'm not sure how many shows exactly we did. We did it for 2 seasons, and I think there were maybe 15 to 20.
We did 20.
Okay, 20 shows.
Because, Ron, you must have been the editor. Is that how you know the exact number?
I know.
Well, that's great. We're going to come back and talk with Tazra about what it was like to put herself out there on a TV show that's on YouTube and available at her blog as well. We're going to talk about helping small business owners to overcome some of the cautionary things that may come to mind when it comes to doing video. And Tazra's going to share how she was able to create a program that actually turned into a successful show. This is Indie Business Radio. I'm your host, Donna Maria. We'll be right back.
Want to stay on top of what's new in the radio industry? Sign up for a free subscription to the Future of Talk Radio, available exclusively to listeners of globaltalkradio.com, and find out what's new in the world of online radio. Listeners can find out about new shows and special guests. People with something special to offer can find out how to become a guest and how to prepare for an interview. And prospective hosts will find a valuable resource for everything from planning their new program to selecting topics and guests, recouping expenses by selling advertising, and more. Sign up today for your free subscription to the Future of Talk Radio by visiting www.globaltalkradio.com and learn about the future of talk radio today.
Back to Indie Business Radio. I can't believe we've come to our final segment, but we're gonna talk through some really important issues when it comes to creating videos to promote your products and share your ideas. And Tazra, I've watched many of her shows, and she always puts on a great show at her website, which, by the way, you can see her videos at realwomenscrap.com. I'm surprised to know, Tazra, that sometimes, you know, you do a video, but it's just not something you feel like doing. How do you overcome that feeling and still get the job done if you're afraid that your hair doesn't look great? Or sometimes small businesses say, Tazra, that they just aren't convinced that people are really going to be interested in what they have to show on a video.
Well, great question. So you kind of have two questions there. The truth is that most of the time, I don't want to get on camera. I'm not looking forward to actually having the camera on me, how I'm going to look. And when we first started, one of the things I did to sort of incentivize myself to get on camera is I went and got my makeup done professionally, because I didn't know how it would look on camera. I knew camera makeup looks different. So, you know, this is particularly for women, because I think we are maybe a little more concerned with how we appear on video. So I went to the mall, and on a weekday, I got free makeup done. And even just that small thing helped me feel better getting on camera. And then from there, I made sure I was planned, so I knew exactly what I was going to talk about. And I also knew that we could edit it, so I didn't have to worry about making a wrong comment or feeling stupid or any of that. I knew that ultimately, if it didn't work, we didn't have to run it. We could do it again, or we could just edit it out. So those sort of removing any of the obstacles in my mind about how I would look or how it would appear helped me get more excited about it. The other thing is having things that you're excited about talking about. So, you know, for me, it was talking about projects I've created and things that I really was excited about as far as sharing them with people and knowing that more people like video and connect to video and connect to me when I'm on video. So I think sort of stopping the thinking about myself and my own concerns and worries and fears and insecurities and thinking about the effect on the audience and that doing a video might make someone preserve their images. It might make them organize their photos. It might make them reach out to their teenage daughter. And so keeping the focus there helps me get over my own junk.
That's a really good tip. Thank you. Thank you for sharing that. So I know you have the benefit of an editor, but for people who don't have that, Tazra, the benefits that you can get out of doing video far outweigh, you know, not, you know, if you don't have an editor, you do have to, you know, go through and tape the whole thing without stopping. And you think that even if you have to do that, it's definitely worth giving it a try?
I definitely do think it's worth giving a try. I just recently read an article, which is what I just tweeted about, where Zappos sells 6 to 30% more merchandise when accompanied by video demos. And they are actually, in this next year, going to have 10 full working video studios and want to produce 50,000 product videos by 2010. They only have 8,000 now. So this is a company that has been wildly successful who gets it. They're realizing that the power of video is beyond what we can even conceive or imagine. And it doesn't have to be professional all the time. Like Ron was saying, if it is your, you know, promotional video for your entire company, it's probably better to have something professionally done. But for weekly shows like I did with Roland and Scrap TV and like we're doing again, I think that if you have some key things that you're focused on and you get those right, then it'll be good. So one of the key things is making sure that you have good lighting. And that is just critical. If you don't have good lighting, we can't see you, we can't see your product, and things don't look good. And that's as simple as, you know, getting a light, making sure even that you could shoot in the daytime in front of a big window so that you have natural light. The second thing that's really important is audio. And so making sure that you have a microphone hooked up, making sure that you have, and again, that's something that you can get for a pretty minimal cost because you're going to have some kind of camera. So making sure audio is good. You don't have cars in the background. You don't have, you know, people talking. You don't have your kids laughing unless that's part of the video. You know, make sure it's professional. And then the third thing would be making sure that your framing is good. So you don't want to just sit in the middle of the camera and have your dirty laundry in the background and have, you know, people walking through the screen and these distractions. Get a nice environment and think about where you are and then think about the rule of thirds. And this is something that works for video and photography. You don't want to stick things smack dab in the middle of the frame. You want to have them either a little bit off to the right or a little bit off to the left because it just is more pleasing to the eye. And I won't get into the whole rule and all of that information, but just know that that is something that you should think about. Don't sit right in the middle of the screen.
And the beautiful thing about all this is that the tips, there may be some tips that we can learn over time and accumulate a lot of tips, but to get started, all we really need to do is fire up the video camera, right? Because we can always, of course, we need to remember that if you don't like it, you never have to use it. So you have nothing to lose by trying this, especially when you the statistics you just circulated about videos boosting the sales of products by multiple percentage points.
Right. And the reality is there's a lot of video out there that is really, really bad, and it's still working. I know, and I won't mention the site, but there is one site that does, like, weekly instructional videos, and they're really kind of bad. But the content is good. So, I mean, as far as lighting and professional and audio, it's not that great, but the content is good, and the information is good, and people love it. It's an extremely popular site. So don't let, you know, sort of your own fears about not getting it right, don't let your perfectionist tendencies, if you have them like me, don't let those keep you from getting the benefits, because the only way we learn is by trying something. And so why not try it? Why not just give it a shot and see how it goes?
That's a really good point, that the content, the value of the content can overcome some of the imperfections in a video. And certainly if you keep doing it for long enough, you're only going to get better. So that's the good thing about it, too, is that no matter where you're starting, you can't get any worse.
Exactly.
That's a pretty important thing to remember. And really, I'm just so thankful to have your guidance, because the statistics you just tweeted, and I have a member of IBN who I worked with, who told me that her sales went up 200% within 1 month after she started doing regular YouTube videos for the beauty products that she sells. In 1 month, her sales doubled.
Wow.
And they were flat before that. And, you know, I think, you know, you guys just talked about, Tazra, you talked about it specifically with respect to blogging. But, Ron, have you also found it's true as well with video? When clients come to you and say, okay, we want to incorporate video, isn't one of the first things they want to do with that is to be able to make a more personal connection with their target audience?
Yeah, that is one of the primary reasons why a lot of our clients hire us, is to make that personal connection. You know, I was saying earlier, a number of our clients are professional photographers, and a big part of the sales process when selling photography is meeting the person, meeting your potential clients in person, coming in studio, and that can take a lot of time, and at some point I think that needs to happen. But if you're able to establish a connection with your client before online, you can actually get to a point where they're ready to hire you even before they meet you in person. And so that's another reason why video has been so powerful.
You know, Ron, it seems to me that it's a lot easier, and Tazra too, to do a video that is less than stellar if the camera gets to focus on the product that you're selling, like the shoes or the beauty products. But can you offer some tips for people who are, they don't have products per se, they really offer services? What sorts of things might, and in a photography case, I guess you can edit the video, I suppose, Ron, to include actual wedding portraits that photographer's done that can
right.
be incorporated into a video. But, you know, you guys provide consulting services and coaching services. How do you promote those using new technologies where video, I mean, you know, your head is great, but for 3 whole minutes might not be exactly effective?
Well, that's what I was getting to earlier about the power of using video to for testimonials by your clients.
Okay.
So if you're more of a service-oriented business, see if you can have any, you know, 2 or 3 of your clients that you provide excellent service for to get on camera saying how much that they love, you know, working with you. I think that's a great way to use video if you're more service-oriented.
That's a really good point, to be able to do that. So so a lot of times we see testimonials on the Internet, and they're static, or there's a nice smiling face, or even I'm seeing more audio testimonials. I don't see a lot of small businesses with video ones, so that's a good suggestion.
Another good way to set yourself apart, then.
Yes, absolutely. Really good suggestion. Now, you guys are a husband and wife team. You work in your business together. Are you seeing an increase in the number of couples that you know who'd like to be able to figure out how they could pool their talents to form a family business? Ron, what are you seeing in that area, if anything?
I don't know if I'm seeing an increase in more than what I've seen before. I mean, a lot of the companies that we... A lot of our colleagues in both the video world and in the photography world happen to be husband and wife teams because it's the nature of the business, the kind of businesses that we run. So since so many of the colleagues we deal with are already husband and wife teams, I can't say like I'm seeing an increase in it, at least from the aspect of, you know, a lot of the people that we deal with. But, you know, particularly during these times when we have, you know, layoffs and we have hard economy and businesses are cutting back, you know, people are starting to find, sometimes not necessarily by choice, having to go off and start a business on their own, maybe because they lost a job or something. And And then, you know, if they're married, then they find out that, you know, in order to really make the business work, you need at least two people rather than you, and sometimes that involves recruiting a spouse. So, you know, I think in times like this, you can see more husband and wife teams getting in business together.
What was it like for you, Tazra? Did one of you have the business first and the other one joined, or were there separate businesses that you merged in some respect, but they're still separate? How did you guys set it up generally?
When we first started, Ron had the idea of wanting to start a video business. This is when we were engaged. And so he actually launched his business shortly after we were, or just before we got married. I was teaching at the time, so we lived on my teaching salary and the money he had saved for the first year. And then from there, we decided to take the leap and go full-time. So I was writing full-time, and he was doing the video business full-time. I've always been part of the video business, but up until this year, I was always part-time doing it, you know, in addition to the other things I was doing, which is still the case. But so I started writing, and then we do a lot of things that merge, like Real Women Scrap TV is obviously this wonderful merging of his video talents with my scrapbooking and my audience. And so we've done a lot of things like that. I think the closest we've worked is when we were writing the book and really taking both of our experience and expertise and merging those into one sort of creative document that tells the whole story and history. So that's kind of where we've come from and where we are now.
That's amazing, and I love how Ron talked about recruiting the spouse. It's funny to say, my experience has been that anybody in a household that has a business sort of necessarily requires everybody else in the household to participate somehow or other in that business, whether they want to or not, whether it's a run to the post office or taking out the trash. Have you found that? I know you guys have kids. Do you somehow incorporate your children into your business? I'm sure they know that you guys, you know, don't have traditional jobs like some of their friends' parents do.
You want to take that, Spirit? Or you want me to answer it?
Yes.
Yeah, go ahead.
Am I answering that?
Yes.
Go ahead.
If you'd like,
okay.
One of you would be fine.
Yeah, we do. We have a 14-year-old daughter, or actually, keep saying 14. She's 15 now. She just turned 15 a few weeks ago. And she, you know, it's a very smart, from a tax basis, if you have someone, you know, if you have a son or daughter who's a legal working age, to employ them in the business. And instead of giving them an allowance, you put them on the payroll, and you can legally write off the amount that you pay them via the payroll. So one thing that we do is, and this was a suggestion from our CPA, so, for instance, we will pay our daughter, let's say, $10 an hour. And so the company will put into her checking account, you know, $10 an hour, pay all the legal, you know, taxes and everything. Mm-hmm. And then everything that she needs in life, her clothes, her makeup, anything she wants to buy, we take out of that account. So instead of giving her an after-tax allowance, mm-hmm. It's smart to pay her a salary via the business or a wage via the business that can be written off. So, you know, that's a very smart way from a financial and tax basis to get your kids involved. Obviously, you know, I'm not a tax person or a legal tax person, so consult with your CPA, but that's what our CPA told us, and we've been doing that. But, you know, she also stars in one of our videos. She's, you know, she's the latest film series we did for a client she played a part in.
Great.
We travel a lot. She helps out. So,
great.
Yes, our kids do get involved.
Wonderful. Those are some good tips and things to think about. Check with your CPA and find out how you can enjoy those kinds of tax deductions and put your kids to work to support the family business as well. Well, unimaginably, we are absolutely out of time. I can't believe it. Tazra and Ron Dawson, authors of Refocus, Cutting-Edge Strategies to Evolve Your Video Businesses. Ron, where do we go online to get more information about you?
BladeRonner.com, BladeRonner.com is my blog, and that's a good place to start.
Right, and that's where we can enjoy your podcast, right?
My podcast for photographers is s.beyond.tv, but there's a link to it for my blog in the About section.
Okay, so bladerunner.com. And Tazra, how about you?
My scrapbooking and sort of life tips is realwomenscrap.com, mm-hmm. and my photography blog is Tazra365, which is a daily photo and inspiration. So those are the two places, and then Twitter is twitter.com/Tazra Dawson.
And for those of you who like to take pictures or enjoy watching beautiful photographs, Tazra's blog is a fantastic place to go for inspiration and also to see some wonderful pictures every day. Next week, my guests will be Judith Shervin and Jim Schnowski. They are authors of the number one best-selling book, The Heart of Marketing, Love Your Customers and They Will Love You Back. They'll be here next week. That's Monday, December 14th, 2009, right here on Indie Business Radio. Thanks to my listeners today. Thanks to Ron and Tazra Dawson, fantastic guests with great tips. I will see you next week right here at IndieBusinessRadio.com. In the meantime, enjoy your life, build your business, and have your way.
You're listening to GlobalTalkRadio.com.